You know, last week we were looking at how Barnabas and Silas got together because, Paul and Silas got together because Barnabas and Mark went out to Cyprus. And there was an issue there with John Mark. And so John Mark went with Barnabas. So they went out to Cyprus, and that's the last we heard about them. Sometimes in ministry, there's disagreements, and people go their own way, which is a natural cause to happen in people's lives. We have that happening in our families, with friends, relationships with people. You know, we're not always going to agree 100% on everything. So through the Holy Spirit of God and through what the elders had to say there in the Church of Jerusalem, and the leaders, Paul decided to take Silas. And so they went on to verse 41 in chapter 15. He went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. And because of that, as they went on with their missionary journey, they were already told to go from Jerusalem, and this is the start of the second missionary journey. As we looked at previously, the first missionary journey took them about 9 months, about 1,500 miles, and they traveled up there where you had the Mediterranean Sea and you had Cyprus, and then you had the southern part there of what is known as you have Greece, and over to the western side there where you have Turkey and up in that area there. So they were able to go by boat, make a loop around, come back down to Antioch, down to Jerusalem, and then they went from Jerusalem and headed up for the second missionary journey, because there was a time when they had to get letters together, and I'm going back a little history here because of the circumcision, because of the Jews. You take the gospel out to people, you are going to be hindered. There are going to be problems, just like I experienced this past week, where I told the board, I said, God's blessing you, watch this week, things will happen. And sure enough, they did. And I was like, everything that I did, I felt like I'd go 5 steps forward, I felt like I took 10 steps backwards. And I was like, all this work I did, but I know God has a plan. It's not my work, it's His work. So He's doing things behind the scenes that I have to trust Him, that I have to obey Him. There's one lady who traveled up from Florida. She got here safely, all by herself. And I'm like, now that's a miracle in itself. I wonder if I could do that now. You know, you have a professional driver here who's in our congregation, and he has to drive at night. And I pray for him too, because, again, God's working behind the scenes that he gets home safely all the time. And so as it was, when the enemy comes knocking at your door, we have the armor of God. We're on the Lord's side. We march on. We push through the problem. You don't go around the problem. You go through it through the grace of God. So they were there, and they were called. And so you had one group that left, and that was Barnabas and John Mark, who went to Cyprus. Now you had Silas, and you had Paul, and Silas was used with Judas as well. Not Judas Iscariot, but some people think he's been long gone dead, but different Judas. And they went out and they took these letters and they gave them to the churches that were there in the area and told them about the circumcision, that it was wrong. And the lies, you had to live under the law. You had to mix law with grace. No, that's not right. We're under grace right now. You keep the law. You have the law to show you that we are sinners, that we need Jesus Christ. And so with that, and then keeping other Jewish rites, which we looked at last week, which you don't need. Today, there are many churches that teach works, and we don't need works. We are saved by grace, justified through faith. The works come afterwards, not before. And so here we are by the grace of God. So you have Paul, and you have Silas. Now they're on their journey. And if you look at Jerusalem's here and they take an arch and you're going eastward, they're not going by boat this time. They're going by land. And so you have here, I'm going to mention verses, chapter 16, verses 1 through 5 briefly about Timothy, because he pretty much took the place of John Mark. But remember, John Mark was used in some mighty ways. We looked at last week, the Gospel of Mark. Peter praised him. Paul used him. He was a man that was used of the Lord. Some people think that he pretty much fell apart. No, he didn't. God picked him up and used him. Then we see chapter 16. Then he came both Silas and Paul, to Derbe and Listeria. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, and he was the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish, and believed, and his father was Greek. So you have Paul and Silas visiting this town. Paul had led both Lewis and Eunice, mother and grandmother of Timothy, to the Lord in the first missionary journey. And then Timothy was in his early 20s at this time. And Paul was going to use Timothy in his second and third missionary journey. And so we see here in verse 2, which was well reported by the brethren that were in Listeria and Iconium. So then verse 3 says, and him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in the quarters, for they knew all that his father was Greek. It's interesting because you have a pagan society. Today we live in a pagan society. A pagan is one who's the reversal of who God is, okay? They worship idols. They worship themselves, or they put anything before God as an idol, okay? If you substitute anything except God in your life, then you're idolizing something. It could be ourselves. It could be our work. It could be many different things. So, but God understands through his grace. So it's interesting that you have Timothy, he was circumcised. You say, why didn't he be circumcised? I thought the Judaizers were saying that doesn't make sense. Well, there was a reason, because Paul told him to do this so that he could be all things to all people. And it's interesting, his father was Greek. And so they thought, well, why can't we can't even take Timothy with us into the synagogues? Because the synagogues was a very important place. It was a place where they judged people. They had courts. They had places of worship. So they had to take Timothy with them, because there was the seat of power with the Jewish people in the synagogues. As we see here in 1 Corinthians here in verses 19 through 21, trying to get over here to 1 Corinthians, and it says that we need to be all things to all people, that we may lead those to Jesus Christ. So it's important that we could be all things to all people. We have an unction through the Holy Spirit that we can go out and witness to people, that we can lead people to Christ, that we can be what we can be by the grace of God, that he can use us. So looking at that, that there was that circumcision. So there's a good reason why, because people will question you if there's something different about you. And so in verse 4, it says here that, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees, again, the letters, stating that they needed not to be under the law or under the circumcision, but it was by grace through faith for our Lord Jesus Christ, because many of the Jewish people were teaching that. Many Christians teach that today, that you can only get saved through the church, that you can only get saved through works. For to keep that were ordained of the apostles and the elders which were in Jerusalem. So this was inspired by God. God's word comes first. These letters, these epistles were sent to every town that they went to. And this is important too. When we go different places, it's a good idea maybe to have a little copy of the Bible with us, some scripture verses with us. So wherever we go in life's journey this week, it can help us. And also most important too is to hide God's word in our heart that we don't sin against our Lord. Psalms 119 verse 11. Verse 5 says, "And so were the churches established in faith and increased in number daily." In other words, people were coming to know the Lord, and also people were searching where God's church was. And people were coming there and increasing in number daily. Now we see here in verse 6, "And now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." Now, you have to understand, number one, after they had left the area of Derbe and Listeria, that God, through His Holy Spirit, told them, no, you cannot go to a certain area. You know, I would have to say, by the authority of the Word of God, we have to be careful we don't do what the Lord tells us not to do. Sometimes it's better just to be quiet about a witness because it's not time yet. Sometimes we have to be patient and wait for God's timing. Well, the Lord is just saying a flat out no about to preach the word in Asia. Now, Asia, if you had a map, you had Listeria and you had Derbe, which was here. Jerusalem was down here. The Mediterranean was here. They wanted to go to Asia, which was about going eastward, but it was more down south of that, okay? And God was saying no. Now, the providence of Asia was not like we look at our map today. We see Asia, which is a big continent there. You have Russia, and you have the other areas there of Asia. And we think, oh, no, that's Asia. No, it's a much smaller geographical area. And God is saying, I don't want you to go there. And so that's the area where Galatia was, northern Galatia. And God's saying, I don't want you to go there. It's up by the Black Sea, up there where Turkey's at, up in that far northern area. God's saying, not yet. What happened was churches got established, and then people went up through that area, and the gospel spread. So God was saying, I want you to go further east. I don't want you going west. I want you to go east. And sometimes we think within ourselves, Lord, why can't we just do this now? This looks good. It looks like a great opportunity. Let me grab it. Every time that I've gotten ahead of myself, I get in trouble, you know. Or I need to go out with somebody to witness, because if I go by myself, I get in trouble. Because I look in the Bible, you know, you have that. Even Christ instructed his disciples to go out in twos and threes, okay? You look at Paul and Silas and Timothy, there are three people, you know? So there's much wisdom and strength in a multitude of counselors and encouragement and in faith and going on ahead with the gospel. So then after that, they were come to Mysia, they essayed, verse 7, to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So even in Bithynia, which was more eastern and more to the north of that, God was saying, no, I don't want you to go there. And so for that reason, God knows better. And I think of missionaries and people who have gone on before, who've gone overseas, who've reached out with the gospel of Christ. That was God's timing. It's nothing better being in God's timing. So God was saying no to that. As we find out in church history, missionaries, Christians, went further up north and shared the gospel. And then verse 8 says, "And they, passing by Mysia, came to the town of Troas." Now, Mysia is the province right by the Aegean Sea, which is, if you look at Jerusalem's here, and then you circle around here, the Mediterranean's down here, you have the Aegean Sea here, and you have Greece. And Paul stops there, and he comes to Troas, which is an island, and he stops there. And God is getting his attention. So he's traveling on. He says, you cannot go north. You're coming from the west. You're going east. You keep on going east. It's wonderful when God directs us and shows us which way to go day by day. And, you know, he's in control of everything, but he directs our steps. And many of us today have been thankful to this day. We know when we're in God's perfect will. We'll look at that in a minute, some steps about keeping in God's will here in a moment. And there stood a man, appeared to Paul at night, a Macedonian, prayed to him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So Macedonia is in northern Greece, where you have Philippi, where you have Thessalonica. You know that with Paul starting these churches in that area, he wrote letters there to the Philippians and also the Thessalonians. Came back up for his third missionary journey. He traveled through there again, visited with them. It's wonderful even when we have missionaries stopping by here at church and sharing their faith and how encouraging that is. And I think about Brian McIntyre, and I told him, I said, Brian, after he was here last week, and I said, you got to come out here and preach sometime. You got to let us know when you come back what's going on. I'm kind of excited. He goes, yeah, I can do that, you know. I said, well, so keep him in prayer next couple of weeks before he goes. He's going to be visiting other churches, he and Debbie. So, you know, there they were on this island. They had a vision. They were told by man to come to Macedonia. We don't know who this man was, but he had a vision. And I would have to say with visions, be very careful about them. But remember, God used visions with Daniel. God used visions throughout the Bible. But remember, there's a counterfeit visions too. And so, like I've said before, you go to God's word and, you know, you dream something or you had a vision of some sorts, you better check it with God's word. You know, personally, I have not had visions myself or have had dreams like that. But some people claim they do, and I cannot call them liars and say that's not the truth, because that's between them and God. Okay, but I'm saying be very careful. Be very careful about that. So then we see, so he's there at Troas. He had a vision. And so verse 10 says here that, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go to Macedonia. It's interesting because now Luke gets involved with this in Acts. It's in the first person, plural personal pronoun. Try to take that home with you. First personal, plural personal, pronoun. So as the idea that Luke now gets involved with this, Luke, the writer of this book, now is there with them. So you have four people. When you have this the personal pronoun here, we have the we and us found out also in Acts chapter, the end of Acts 16 in Philippi. Also, we see that this word is also used in this book in chapter 27 and chapter 20, that Luke is actually there with them. So he is there experiencing this firsthand. And so verse 17 says, therefore, losing from Troas, we came from with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis. And so they came closer to their destination. Verse 12, and thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of the part of Macedonia. In the colony, we were in that city abiding certain days. It's interesting how, if you look at your outline and your bulletins, how the Holy Spirit gathered together the leadership, step one, and there was a clear call of the Holy Spirit in verses 8 and 9, strong convictions, verse 10, and immediate obedience to God's call in verses 11 and 12. So the Holy Spirit is working throughout the book of Acts. And it's leading, guiding through God's people as we do today. So there is understanding of guidance today for us. And there is known as God's proclaimed will. And we see that in God's word. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says this, that we have in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And so we look at God's word, God's proclaimed word. And so we look through that. Number two, we see that it's essential to know. And we see number two, that there is God's providential will. This is when we may not have certainty as to what God's will is for us. But he does have it for us to understand in his word. In 1 John 5, verse 15, it says this, and this is the confidence that we have of him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. So, are we asking God, is it your will? Is this is what you want for me today? And I know that a lot of us here, probably all of us, I would think, because this is a strong praying church, and we really pray. We sweat it out, so to speak. We ask God, Lord, is this what you want for me? Am I doing what you want me to do today? Or, you know, I look at yesterday's done. Did I do everything that I could have done, would have done? And so we seek God's providential will. And then we see God's permissive will. And that's not everything that we do pleases God. You know, when we do things, like my daddy used to tell me years ago, when you do a job, you do it right the first time, because you won't have a first time. You do it right. Sometimes you might get things a little mixed up, or you didn't see things, or things didn't turn out the way you thought. You thought you did everything right. That's different. But if you really seriously get along with God and get serious with him, he'll get serious with us. And I'm reminded in Jeremiah chapter 27, we're in that right now, where, you know, you have the Babylonians come down. They come to Jerusalem. They come down and they take captive of God's people in that first 70-year period, the 70-year deportation. And now they're in Babylon. And Jeremiah is prophesizing this. And he's saying, look, even though you have God's utensils, God's pieces that were in the temple, okay, they're there in Babylon right now. And you know what? They're going to stay there. And as we see in Daniel chapter 5 and 6, Belshazzar came along after Nebuchadnezzar, and he drank from those vessels. And then the Medes and the Persians came and took over from there. But it wasn't until that time, when the 70-year period was over with, that they brought all these utensils back to the temple. Now, hold on there for a minute. You had false prophets in Jeremiah's time was saying, oh, we need to bring everything back to Jerusalem. It needs to come out of Nebuchadnezzar's hands. It was like before time. And Jeremiah was saying, don't listen to those false prophets. Today, we have people today are telling us to do this and do that. We have to be careful what we listen to on the radios, what we watch on TV, on our internet. There's a lot of false prophets out there. A false prophet is 99.9% accurate. In other words, Satan wants to make things look so good and so fabulous to us that that 1% lie is good enough for me. No, it's not. That is a false prophet right there. Anybody who, look, I might get a verse wrong, or I might get a little on a rabbit trail, whatever, but God takes it seriously, wants me to get serious with you all who take it seriously, and those who are online, God bless you seriously. So not only that, Jeremiah said, you don't take anything from these prophets and listen to them. But not only that, but these foreign nations who have rejected God, you wonder why a lot of foreign nations are going through some horrible times, because they've rejected God. Very simple. You know, they rejected God for years, and now they're having persecution, they're having problems. Well, you have five major nations in Jeremiah's time, and God is telling Jeremiah, put on a yoke. You know, yoke was used for oxen that would lead, farmers would have them, and the yokes were used to lead the animals. Jeremiah was told by God to wear a yoke and show it to the leaders, and saying, this yoke, I am supposed to be directed by God, told by God, because what is the clay, the pot, say to the maker? You can't. I was witnessing to somebody about this the other day. How is that even possible? We are the clay. He is the potter. How am I going to answer back to God? It's impossible. One person says, well, then I guess he can't hear us. Well, of course he does. But how are we going to answer to somebody who made us and shaped us and formed us? God's in control, because they were angry at God because of everything, not because of this storm, but earlier this week, because life was such a mess. And who does God think he is? I had to go back to the very foundation of who God is. And he's a benevolent God. He's a loving God. He's a caring God. But he shapes and molds us the way he wants us. But anyway, Jeremiah was telling these nations around Jerusalem to get things right. He was telling the Jewish leaders to get things right. And unfortunately, they didn't listen. And so sometimes God allows bad things to happen because we don't choose what's best in God's permissive will. We don't ever want to be there. We want what's best. So how can we seek God's guidance for today, just like as we've seen here with the people of Silas and Paul and Timothy, as they were instructed to go God's way? It's no different than it is today. We have the same Holy Spirit. We have the same God. Some people think today that God of the Old Testament is different than God of the New Testament. No, he's not. He is the same one. And until we understand that, as I understand that, things will make better sense in my life. And I can get more serious and understand that I need to respect God and show him my all and give him my all and take him seriously. So, as they were taking God seriously, they went to Troas. They were there on the island in the Aegean Sea. They got a vision, and so they sought God's will. They went to northern Grecian area, which is Macedonia, to work with the churches there, first in Philippi, and then down to Thessalonica. But we need to also seek advice from others, as they did. Proverbs 11:14 says this, and let me go on over to Proverbs 11:14. Says, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in a multitude of counselors there is safety. So remember, at the first second missionary journey, they got together with the church leaders, and they said, we'll take Silas with you. And then they were led by the Spirit of God to take Timothy with them. We don't know what happened to Barnabas, and because Barnabas, a lot of people believe, was, Mark was Barnabas's nephew. And so they went somewhere else. There wasn't anything mentioned of them for a while, but I'm sure God used them where they were at. But the point is Paul was wise. He got counsel within the church, and they went on their way. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearketh unto counsel is wise. You know, you have a person who's simple, who knows nothing, Bible says. And then you have a fool who doesn't listen to wisdom. He knows better. And then you have a person who is proud and arrogant. There's more hope for a fool than him. So a wise person will listen to counsel. So that's what they did. And so, number one, we need to seek advice from others, which they did. Number two, we need to ask God for wisdom. In James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, says this. Keep in mind here that God wants to bless us, and he wants to give us wisdom. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to men all liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to him. Let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let him not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all that he does. So they asked for wisdom of God. All these people that went on this missionary journey, they were led by the Holy Spirit of God. And God led them to one place to another. Point is that you had somebody traveling up from Florida. I'm sure that you had to go to a gas station. You had to go to a hotel. You had to seek and pray that no one would hit you on the road. You had to be praying. You had to be letting people know how you're doing. You know, people who travel a lot need a lot of prayer. We need a lot of prayer today because in our churches, there's a lot of pulling away from the truth. There's a lot of lies going on today in our government. There's a lot of things that are being said that are being kept quiet from the public. We have nothing to hide. You know, there shouldn't be a reason why we should even hide anything in the first place. Our lives should be like a fishbowl in a sense, where people can see us all the time. So we need to ask God for wisdom, and they did wisely. They had directions to go. You know, man plans in his heart and his mind what he'll do during the day, but God will keep that direction straight for that person. Every day we have plans. I'm sure we have things on our calendar that we have planned this week. But God, some, you know, it's just about every day, isn't it, that we have things change, things, and we have to reshuffle things, and we have to leave an open mind to things. Love, that's what these missionaries did. Thirdly, we need to commit our way to the Lord. In Psalms 37, 5 and 6, says here, and they did that through prayer quite a bit. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He'll answer our prayers, yes, no, or wait. And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and the judgment as a noonday. There's nothing better than light. I tell you, with some of us here's eyesight that is going, it's tough, it's hard. You know, it's nothing better than having light. I have a little light at my desk. Turn that on, and it's a very bright light. Because just the typical light, sometimes I can't see too well. Well, God's word is like that. It's a light that shines our way. So we're seeking for God. So we look for advice from others, God's wisdom, and then committing our way to the Lord. And then fourth, but not last, is to make our plans subject to God's will, both and proclaimed and providential. In James 4:15 says this, that for you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So, Lord willing, God, let your will be done. And you know what? With these missionaries, they went where they were supposed to go. There is nothing better than being in God's perfect will. Remember, it is like this. God is not like a train. He is able to run on more than one track. God can do whatever he wants. So remember, when we're seeking God's will, be open to him, whatever he wants. And some days, I get some people, they call themselves perfectionists. I love them very much, but they think everything has to go a certain way. Now, I have an issue. I was talking to somebody the other day. I said, you know, if this is crooked, I got to straighten it. You know, I forget what you call that, but the picture's out of alignment. I have to go over there and straighten it up a little bit. That's just the way I am. Okay, but you have some people that are perfectionists where they just get themselves in trouble and everything has to be just right. I like to be a realist. Say, this is it. I need to adjust. So I have to understand that God's that way too. And it was like for these apostles, these missionaries, the same way. God told them, you cannot go north. I'm sure they wanted to go north and they wanted to go to other areas. Number two, a choice may not be between good and bad, but good for and for the better. Sometimes God says no to people, to us, about things. And we're saying, why did that happen? Because I always try to look at it this way. God's got something better for us. He's got something better. And sometimes people may hurt us, things may happen, and we're like, why did that happen? Because God has something better. And that is what my one prayer was for one lady who left here the other week. I said to her, I said, God has something better for you. I really felt God laying it on my heart. Living in a house pretty much all her life with her husband, God takes her husband home, and she left here the other week to be with her family. The Lord laid one thing in my heart, God has something better. You know, after all that she went through, and like I said, she was one of the pillars here of the church. And then we see God can use in many different areas. God can use us in many different areas in His will if we're open to it. Even if we're tired, we're worn out, Lord, use me. You know, wife, you think is going to get better. She doesn't get better. Why? Because God allowed it to happen. Does it make us, give us the right to get angry? No. It's that God's in control. It's like one person, I heard this illustration from this preacher years ago. This one person was going to come visit them and visit their church, and their children were just beautiful singers. And they were traveling down the road, and this truck hit them sideways, killed all the children and the wife except for the husband. Well, the pastor came to visit, and he says, well, what do you think about all this? You know, what do you think God's trying to tell you? And after all the tears and all the anguish and all the pain and, oh, the Lord only knows what he went through. The husband said, you know what? My children and my wife, especially my children, I could sing so beautifully, now can sing before the Father, the Heavenly Father. And instead of singing in church, they can sing praises to the Heavenly Father. Now that's how I look at somebody who looks at things on the bright side. You know, thinks outside of what is God saying? What is God doing? Why is He allowing this to happen? We don't really understand sometimes in our own minds because we're just people. And we're, this is all we see. We go by faith. We believe by faith. But God has a reason why. He handled it the right way. A totally different way than I heard about that, and I was just like, now that is a person of faith, of love. Just letting go. God gives it to you. Give it back to Him. You know, God gives us things that don't belong to us. It belongs to Him. Everything belongs to Him. You know, I have to constantly check myself, check my heart, and balance my mind, make sure this all belongs to You. This doesn't belong to me. It gives you a good perspective on things. Also, if we need not choose the right way, that will give you time to grow and gain wisdom. And if things don't happen right away, then this will help us to grow, to get our attention, to become wiser, understand things, let us think. And last is whatever your hands find to do in God's will in your existing circumstances, do it with all your might. So you had Paul, you had Silas, you had Timothy. They just didn't stand there or sit there. They got moving around. They prayed. They sought God's out spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit through the book of Acts is prevalent. It's there. It's moving, doing things. And I've seen it in every one of our lives. We're seeing it in each other's lives too. That this is what's happening. But I want to close with this in Colossians 4:10, 4:12, excuse me, that our goal should be this in God's will is to be perfect. That means mature, complete in God's will, no matter what the circumstances. Forget the circumstances. Put them aside for a minute and look at yourself and say, am I where God wants me to be today? And then Colossians 4:12 says, Euphorius, who is one of you, the servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in your prayers, that ye may stand perfect or mature and complete in all the will of God. So, Lord willing, this is what you want. Lord willing, for me, my wife, my loved ones, my family, my kids, whoever it is, this is where you want me to be. If there's any other place I'd rather be, then something's not right. This is where God wants you today, without any doubt. So, are we seeking to find a way in the will of God as it pertains to the plans in our life? So that will be for this week. Are we seeking that? Because we never know. We never know who's going to be here, who's not going to be here this week, or next week, or the following weeks. Well, we need to be prepared with an open mind, saying, Lord, continue to guide me, direct me wherever you want through life's hiccups, bumps, or problems that we have in life. Just like these missionaries, they sought the Lord. Encouraging you here this week, seek the Lord while he may be found. Seek him with all your heart, soul, and mind. Love him. And love your neighbor. We need to love our neighbors more. I know I need to work on that too. I need to work on all these areas. As my pastor said, it's easy to preach, but it's another way of to live it. It's tough. It's hard. But God can do it through his grace. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your faith. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, that Paul and Silas and Timothy, Lord, that you were with them all the way. And you brought them all those miles and those many months they traveled believing you. And I thank you for Timothy, who got circumcised because he wanted to be all things to all people. Lord, when it comes to us in life's journey, I thank you very much for your people here, that through life's sorrows and trials and tribulations and discomforts, Lord, that we still come through by faith, believing you and trusting you. And that call that you have, it may not be a Macedonia call like these people here, but you've called each one of us to unique ministry in our own lives that we may save the lost, Lord, through your power of your Holy Spirit, that, Lord, that we may draw closer to you in life's circumstances, that we can look at the good in everything, Lord, that we can seek a counselor's seeking wisdom and seeking your word and seeking your love. Lord, we just ask you this week and today, we thank you for this past week. We thank you for the week coming up. We thank you for the opportunity that we can be alive to live Christ in our lives. And Lord, we thank you for your blood. Thank you for your death on the cross. And thank you for our salvation. In Jesus' name, we pray too. If anybody's watching out here on the camera, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, seek him today. That be very clear to you through his word. You need him. And pray that by faith that you'll accept this through grace, through his shed blood for forgiveness of your sins, through the death on the cross, that he can justify you and that you can become a believer today. Seek him today in his word, and he'll save you. through faith. And thank you for this time we have in your name. Amen.